Now, you might look at that slide and think I'm a golf, one of those pastors who golf. Well, I'm not. I don't golf. I've golfed maybe, I don't know, less than 10 times in my life. I have my own set of clubs because my daughter, when she was 3 years old, won them for me on CKNW. And true story. And they have sat collecting dust, and I've used those about 3 times. However, the reason there's a picture of a golfer up there is because there was a well-known golfer named Gary Player. For those who golf, you might have heard of him. Or for those of you that are above 50, you might have heard of him, even if you don't golf. And Gary Player recounts a story where he was practicing his bunker shots. So the bunker, again, that's the sand thing, right? Golfers, yeah. So he was practicing his bunker shots out of the sand pit into the green, and a guy from Texas was there watching him. And he took a shot, and he just holed it, just got straight from the bunker into the hole. And the guy from Texas said, if you can do that again, I'll give you $50. So he did it again, straight into the hole. And then the guy said, if you can do that again, I'll give you $100. Guess what? Straight into the hole. And so this guy is peeling off his bills, giving to Gary Player, and he said, I've never seen someone so lucky in my life. And Gary Player replied, well, the harder I practice, the luckier I get. Now, next slide. Let's move from golf to preaching. Just think in your mind right now, how many sermons have you heard in your life? If you go to church and maybe 40 times a year, been walking with Jesus for 10 years, well, that's 400 sermons you've heard. And I'm sure you've heard some that were riveting and some that were clunkers. I know all about the clunkers. It's happened. Sometimes I'm in the middle of preaching, I'm like, man, this is a clunker. Like, kind of like right now, as I'm talking, like, this is not going where I wanted to go. But anyhow, one of the best preachers I've heard is a guy named Daryl Johnson. He was a professor at Regent College. He's also a pastor, the lead pastor at First Baptist downtown in Vancouver. And this guy was, I've never heard a person preach like him. But as I have heard him and heard him teach as well, I learned that Daryl Johnson didn't kind of stumble into being a great preacher. He didn't wake up one morning and bam, he was this amazing preacher. He, even though God empowers him, every time he speaks, God is in him, at work through him, empowering his words. Even though God's at work in him, he works hard, still works hard at being a better preacher. He won't preach a sermon unless he has studied that passage for 2 years. So he will, if he's going to preach the book of John, he will read through the book of John for an entire year. Then he'll study the book of John for an entire year. And then as he's preparing for that sermon, he will spend at least 20 to 30 hours preparing, researching, writing that sermon. That's a lot of hard work on his part. And it pays off in that he's this amazing preacher. Now, just like he didn't accidentally stumble into being a great preacher, in a similar way, you and I, we don't stumble into being a mature believer. We don't stumble into being equipped and very good at sharing the good news. I mean, we can all share our story, but sometimes we fumble around, and we don't kind of just stumble into this being this mature, equipped, faithful follower of Jesus. Next slide. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, take the time and the trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. Think of physical fitness. Is that automatic? Do you say, I'm going to be physically fit, go to sleep, and wake up Arnold Schwarzenegger? Of course not. You gotta put the time and the trouble into physical training in order to be physically fit. It's the same with spiritual fitness. It takes time. It takes effort. Just like to be physically fit, you've got to exercise. You've got to develop some basic habits. That is true in the Christian life. Another translation of that verse says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And so we come to this year's theme at Lighthouse Church, next slide, which is, you've got this. You've got this. And we introduced it 2 weeks ago at the outdoor service. You and I can share your story. You can tell God's story. You can pray for people. You can invite people into spiritual community, whether that be a Sunday morning or to a small group or simply over to your house for dinner with friends. You can do all these things. And right now, even though God is at work in you, empowering you to do all those things, just like Danny spoke about last week, he's at work giving you the power and the desire to do all those things. You can still be equipped. You might not feel like, I don't feel really equipped to do those things. I don't feel like I'm kind of an expert in doing those things. But these are all things that we can learn to do. Even though God is at work in us, he calls us, next slide, he calls us to live out loud. And so living out loud is basic, is just doing the basic habits that make our faith more than just an individual private faith, and instead makes it be a lighthouse to those around us. And so we're confident that you've got it, that you've got these things, because number one, you are empowered, right? That's the verse from Philippians that we looked back in January. God is at work in you, giving you the desire and the power to do the things that please him. God's at work in you right now. He's giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. If you have a desire to please God, that means the Holy Spirit's at work in your life. And if you have been any measure of success, have had the power to do what pleases God, that means the Holy Spirit's at work in your life. And he will never stop. He will never stop. So you are empowered. But we're also confident that you've got this because you can be equipped. You can take the time and the trouble to be spiritually fit, to practice these things. And God can take this and use it incredibly powerfully in another person's life. So the former, being empowered, is up to God. That's God's work in you. But the latter, being equipped, that's up to you. And it's up to me. Which is why, just before telling us that God is at work in us, Paul first says to the Philippians, work hard to show the results of your salvation. That's what he says to you and to me. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. But don't fret, because God's at work in you, giving you the power and the desire to do what pleases him. But you still got to work hard. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. And it may seem daunting to put ourselves out there like that, to live out loud, to share our story, to tell God's story, to pray for people, to invite people. But you've got this. You've got this because God is at work in you, empowering you. And you've got this because you can be equipped. It's about being confident and competent. You can be confident when you do these things because God is empowering you. But you can also be competent by learning and being equipped, living out loud. And so this year is about giving you the confidence and the competence to live out loud. And you've got this because you are empowered and you can be equipped. Now, if you don't want to be mature, or if you don't want to do these things, if we don't want to be more steadfast or more a more equipped follower of Jesus, being able to share our story or tell God's story or pray for people, then actually we can't really help you. But if you want to, if I want to, even if we don't feel capable of doing it, even if we're not sure how we're going to do it, well, then we can help you. And we will. That's what equipping is all about. So let's just take a look at this Timothy passage that I referred to earlier. Next slide. Yeah, there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. Now, just as a bit of background, Timothy was a very young preacher, pastor in Ephesus. He was given this very daunting task of leading this church in Ephesus. If you remember the stories from the book of Acts, Ephesus was where they had that massive riot, where the silversmiths, the artisans, were getting angry because they were losing money, because all the little idols they made, people weren't buying them because they were getting converted to Christ, and they stopped buying the idols. And so they got angry, and one of them, Demetrius, led this massive, almost a riot, but they're in the amphitheater shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians! Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" They kept doing that for hours. Side note, you can be there in August 2018. Anyhow, that was just sort of a little subliminal message right there. And so, Ephesus was a pretty crazy city, and Timothy, this young pastor, Paul said, "I'm going to leave you in charge." And so Paul would check in with Timothy. He would write letters to mentor Timothy. And 1 Timothy is the first letter we have recorded of Paul's mentoring of Timothy. And so he's writing to give him advice and encouragement about his task. And here in chapter 4, Paul begins to talk about spiritual fitness. And so what you see up there is the version from the Message, which says, "Stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up as religion. Exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. You can count on this. Take it to heart. This is why we've thrown ourselves into this venture so totally. We're banking on the living God, Savior of all men and women, especially believers." Next slide. Now, this isn't the first time that the scriptures have told us that our effectiveness and maturity as followers of Jesus is partly dependent upon us. Yes, God is at work in you and in me. And yes, in the same letter to the Philippians I referred to earlier, Paul says God is at work in you and he's going to see it through to completion. He's not going to give up on anyone in this room. He will not give up on you. He has promised that the work he began in you, the day you decided to follow Jesus, he's going to see it through to its very end, to completion. He will never give up, which means it is never too late to turn back if you have started walking a different way. So even though that God is at work in us and he's promised to see it through, the Bible is still clear that we must be intentional about our growth. We do not become mature by accident. We do not become mature through osmosis simply by being in a church service or around other followers of Jesus and sort of absorbing their maturity. Even though God is with us, even though he is empowering us as we share our journey to freedom with another person, for example, we can also be equipped. We can be equipped. And Paul tells Timothy to work hard, To the Philippians, he says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. Another example, he says, put on the full armor of God. The armor of God is there, but you and I have got to put it on. You have to be intentional about it. Say, I put on the breastplate of righteousness. I am going to put on the helmet of my salvation. I'm going to put on this armor. It's just laying there otherwise. You and I have to be intentional about our growth. Put on, work hard, walk in the light, be in the word. These are all things that Scripture tells us to do. And they aren't things that just happen by accident. They are things that we choose to do. And so being mature and effective and a more faithful follower of Jesus takes more than just time. We can follow Jesus for 50 years and still not be mature. This is what the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 5, right? He says, you guys have been with Jesus for a long time, and you should be on the meat of Scripture. You should be on the meat of life with Jesus, but you still need the milk. Why? Because they didn't grow. They just sat there, stagnant. And so it's not just time. We can walk with Jesus for decades and still not be mature or an effective follower of Jesus. It takes time plus effort. If there is no effort, if there is no work, if there's no discipline, if there's no intentionality on our part, there is no growth and there is no effectiveness. Next slide. So in the theme of this upcoming year, you've got this. It's really about you and I working hard, being empowered by God, yes, but also working hard to show our faith day by day. Do not be content that you showed your faith in Jesus last week. Do not be content that you showed your faith in Jesus yesterday. Yes, we rejoice in God's empowering presence with us all the time, but we also work hard to show our faith today and tomorrow, day by day. We work hard to live out loud to the people around us. And there is no shortcut to this. There is no shortcut to spiritual growth. There's no instant pill that I could give you today where you would wake up tomorrow being spiritually fit and mature. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes an intentional pursuit, and it does not come automatically, and it does not come quickly. People try to take lots of shortcuts. Some people look for an emotional experience. If I just get this certain experience, then all my problems will be solved, and I will be a mature Christian. Other people say, if I just go to this seminar, if I just read this book, if I just listen to this sermon. Other people say, if I just keep this certain set of rules, then I could be all that God wants me to be. But the Bible says, no, that's rubbish. It is a continual process that we have to learn to be mature. And there are some skills that you and I can learn that will help us grow. Next slide. Earlier this year, we looked at the habits of reading our Bible and having a consistent life of prayer. Like Paul says in this Timothy passage, just one verse before, in verse 6, he says, nourish yourself in the words of prayer. Or another translation, nourish yourself in the word and in prayer. Being in the word of God is a staple of the daily diet for spiritual fitness. And I really hope that you all took advantage of that training that we offered. Now, maybe you already had a consistent life of prayer and a consistent life in the Word, and that's great. Maybe you already had a reading plan and a prayer life. But we offered a reading plan. We offered a prayer plan. We offered a retreat. And if you didn't take advantage of those things, then you missed out. You missed out on months of training for spiritual fitness. You missed out. Don't make the same mistake this time around. Because we are going to be offering training in sharing your story, in telling God's stories, in praying for people, even on that simple thing of invitation. These are the skills that we want to focus on this year because they have to do with living out loud. Those, the ones of the Bible and prayer, those are more of the internal, nourishing kind of things. Now we're looking to take that out of our private life and take it into public life. Living out loud, being a lighthouse. Just look at that list up there for a moment. Which one of those scares you the most right now? Like, if you had to go out today and do every one of those four things, which one would you be most freaked out about? That's the one you should take training for first. So that you can be confident and competent in these areas. Or maybe you can look at which one do I need the most equipping in? Which one do I need the most practice? Because even though God's at work in me and in you, empowering us as we share our journey to freedom with another person, we can also be equipped. We can learn. We can practice sharing our story, and it makes it that much more effective. It's not about learning some kind of formula. That's not what life in Christ is about. None of these things are about, well, if I just learn this formula and I do these four things and this four row, then I will be effective. No, it's not about that at all. It's just about when that opportunity arises, and it will, sometime this year, at some point this year, everyone in this room, I know, will at least have an opportunity to enter into a spiritual conversation with someone about your own personal story or about something you've read in the Bible or something like that. Someone that doesn't know Jesus. You will have the opportunity. And all that's equipping is it just about so when the opportunity arises, we're not like, oh, I don't know what to do. I'm so nervous. Which is normal. I still get nervous a lot of times doing this kind of stuff. But we can learn and we can practice. So we just feel that much more confident and competent. Just that much more effective. So, next slide, decide today to train for that moment. That moment is coming in your life. It could come this week, it could come next week, it could come next month, but that moment is coming. Decide today that I'm going to train for that moment. And then start. And so, like in verses 8 and 9 of this passage we just read, where Paul says, train yourself to be godly or take the time and the trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit, we can be physically fit and spiritually flabby. So a couple of questions. How much time do you spend on your physical health? Jamie and I, we go to the gym several times a week. I know it doesn't look like it, but we actually do. I would flex, but my shirt would rip. You didn't hear that. I didn't say that. My shirt would rip. That's it. You missed that joke because you heard the other thing. I know. Anyhow. How much time do you spend in your physical health? Maybe you go walk the dog 20 minutes a day. How much time do you spend in your spiritual health? Do you have at least an equivalent amount of time? Physical fitness is important because it profits us in this life. But spiritual fitness is even more important, says the Bible, because it profits us in this life and in the life to come. In fact, spiritual fitness profits not just us. You know that saying, you can't take it with you, right? You can't take your car with you. You can't take your house with you. You can't take your bank account with you. There is one thing you can take with you to heaven. People. You can take people. And so when you get equipped to live out loud, to be spiritually fit, it profits you in this life and in the life to come, but it also has eternal benefits for the people around you. That's worth investing our time into. And so that's why Paul says, work hard. That phrase, work hard, actually means it's the picture is like strenuous toil or athletic fatigue. And he says, work hard because our hope is in the living God. You know that the time you invest in your spiritual fitness is not wasted because you serve the living God, the resurrected God who has the power over death. And so whatever you invest in this life is going to have eternal benefits because you serve a living God. So what will you work on this fall? This fall, out of all those four areas, sharing your story, telling God's stories, praying for people. And by that, I don't mean being in your prayer closet and praying for people. I mean you being at work and someone saying, oh, this happened to me this week, or I'm really upset about this, or I just broke up with my boyfriend or something. And that's where you say, can I pray for you right now? Not, can I pray for you? I will pray for you when I get home. It's, can I pray for you right now? You are just putting yourself out there when you do that. That's what we mean by praying for people. So what are you going to work on this fall? We have an equip group, if you look at that equip stuff on the back here. An equip group on Thursdays about learning to tell God's stories. It's a bi-weekly group. We meet every other Thursday starting in October in Steveson. So if you are thinking, I would really like to get equipped on just how to share God's stories, how to do it, how to have that conversation with people, then come. There's some training for you right there. We do prayer walking training almost every week where we do encounter people and offer them prayer, sometimes strangers. That's freaky. No, it is freaky. But it's also very confidence boosting, emboldening. Like that first time you break that barrier and you say, hey, you know, can I pray for you? It's empowering. It's incredible. So if you want to learn how to pray for people, there's training for you. We're going to have a Saturday morning workshop on how to share our story. If that's something that you feel like I would really like to get equipped in that, we've got that for you. And just like Gary Player said, the harder I practice, the luckier I get. I have found in life that with God, that although he empowers me day by day, the more discipline I put into spiritual growth, the more I am intentional about living out loud, the more my life seems to have a positive impact on other people. And perhaps you can discover that about your life this fall. You've got this. You can do this because God is at work in your life and you can be equipped to live out loud. And so the last slide I'm going to end with is right here. I showed this in Steveson last week. And then I sat down with Hayden afterward and we were talking and he said, you know, this would look a lot better if you kind of did like this, and he drew out this, it's almost like a mathematical diagram of some sort. It was amazing and I actually did it. It's going to the life group leader, so we're going to share that. But this is simply living out loud is a very natural and organic thing to do. It's not something that we are forcing on other people. It starts with a casual conversation. How many people here this past week had a casual conversation with someone? Like, yeah, this is my name, this is what I do for a living, or hey, how about those Canucks, or, you know, just a casual conversation. How many people here? Almost everyone had some kind of casual conversation. And I wonder, of those people you had a casual conversation with, are you gonna see them again? Perhaps you will, probably you will, especially if they're like coworkers or whatever. Well, from a casual conversation, we can move into a meaningful conversation at some point, which is more about things where we start to share a little bit more about our life and vulnerability, or something like I mentioned earlier, like, yeah, you know, this happened to me, I'm really sad, I'm really happy, or something like that. Something a little more meaningful. The next level of conversation is a spiritual conversation. And that is where you actually start to discuss spiritual matters. Your living out loud begins with a casual conversation. You don't need to go and say, God, I want to have that spiritual conversation. Lead me to that stranger where I can talk about Jesus. I mean, you can do that for sure. That'd be awesome. But you can also pray, God, help me to just begin a relationship. Have a casual conversation with someone. And if you're going to see them again, then you start praying. God, would you please lead us into a meaningful conversation? And you could have 3, 4, 5, 6 casual conversations, and all of a sudden, God opens the door, and it's a meaningful conversation. And that's where you say, I'm walking through that door. I'm not going to stay shallow. I'm not going to stay superficial. If God opens that door, if the other person opens that door, I'm going to walk through it. You don't need to force it. You just wait. You pray and wait and walk through it. And then you start praying, God, would you lead this into an opportunity for a spiritual conversation? And you wait. You pray and you wait. You might have a few meaningful conversations. All of a sudden, a spiritual matter comes up. You haven't forced it. You have let God be God and work in that person's heart. And then, here's the best part. After you've had 3 or 4 spiritual conversations with a person, you can say, you know, we've had these conversations. Why don't you come over to my house, or why don't we go out for a coffee, and we'll just look at some scripture or the Bible together. See what the Bible says about this. This is 3 or 4 conversations in. And then you lead that person in a very simple Bible study. You don't say, here, let me take you to church so that the experts can tell you about what you need to know. No, because you've already been equipped in all this, and because we're not experts. But you've already been equipped in all this, and you can say, hey, why don't we meet for coffee and just look at the Bible together and see what the Bible says about these issues. In fact, you might know someone who wants to hear these things too. Why don't you bring them along? And you lead them in a Bible study. Or at the very least, you invite them into community. Say, you know, we're talking about this stuff in my small group. Why don't you come? It's a very organic thing. It's a very natural thing. It is not something that we need to force. So that's important. Part of the equipping is just learning to be patient, to pray and be patient and let God open those doors. We are called to make disciples. We are called to be disciples who make disciples. You are called to make disciples. You, not we, I mean, yes, we as a church, but you as an individual are called to make disciples. Disciple making starts with a casual conversation. That's the beginning of disciple making. And you know what? Some of those conversations will lead into deeper things, and some won't. And that's okay. Because you know what Jesus teaches us in Luke 10? If a person's not open, you move on. You don't try to batter down a door that's not ready to be open. Jesus says, hey, if that city's not there, wipe off the dust off your feet and move on to the next village. And so if you're having conversations with people and they are not open to a spiritual conversation, that's fine. Their time's not now. Move on. Because someone else is, because God's working in them. So, lastly, back to this. I said, it starts with a casual conversation. One of the things that we're working on, especially on the Stevenson campus, is providing you the environment to have a casual conversation where we're trying to get believers, like followers of Jesus, and people without faith together in the same room. Not so that you and I can take our Bibles and give them the right hand of fellowship with the big Bible, but so that we can have a casual conversation and just see where it goes.